Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive right here on Texas Football. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by fellow Lifetime Longhorn, my man CJ Vogel up there. Also joined by the coach, you know who he is, former high school football coach at Rotan, Brownwood, Belton, Vernon, Capel, played college football at Abilene Christian, coached there on multiple stints, also coached at the University of Texas on that staff on multiple occasions as well for five different seasons. Now you can catch his work. I'm representing, baby. ShipleyRanches.com. But Coach Bob Shipley, what's going on, Coach? How you doing?
What's happening, baby?
Yeah. All right. Guys, I'm excited. We got a lot of stuff to get into the show. By the way, weather's crazy. If there is some technical difficulties here, it's probably because one of us dropped off because the weather is crazy right here in Austin. A lot of crazy wind, a lot of downpour. Coach, you said you had some hail where you are right now out there in West Texas. CJ, you said the weather's crazy where you are right now. So throwing it out there, CJ, you said, hold on, CJ, did you tell me that was some weather damage over at UFCU?
That, that's the case. The batter's eye at the dish went down. I don't know how they're going to play this game tonight. They're supposed to take on Kansas for the final Big 12 series of the year. That looks pretty bad.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the weather's not too great right now in Austin. Kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Yeah, I did not expect that. So I had to drug the dogs, but not drug them like for real. Give them some CBD. I didn't mean like drug them badly. That CBD is all natural. It's organic. You know what I'm saying? Just so they can calm down and be cool. But they like my dogs, they don't like bad weather. So we got to keep them calm. But appreciate you guys for joining us. What's up, CB? Thank you for all the shout outs. And thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll be here till about 5:30. We'll try to answer as many questions as we can. So throw out all your questions, any and all things Texas football. We got a lot of stuff that I want to get the guys' thoughts about today. We'll talk about what is likely to be Quinn Ewers, at least in some form or fashion, on the cover of the new EA college football video game. All right, we'll get to that because I think that's important, and we'll talk about why that's important. Also, one of my favorite data scientists, statisticians, Stats of War, he came out with his own kind of formulated strength of schedule for the SEC and for all the conferences. But it's interesting where he has Texas in terms of their slated strength of schedule based on this metric in the SEC. Want to get you guys' thoughts about that, too. Also, we're going to talk about Peter Burns. Peter Burns, he was actually working with the LHN, the Longhorn Network, during the spring game. And remember, he did some work with those guys during the spring game. And he got a chance to get a behind the curtains look at Texas. He had some very interesting comments and comparisons for this Texas football team that I think Longhorn fans are going to want to hear. 0-3 also has their top 100 players list in all of college football. So they ranked all the players. We'll see what Longhorns are listed in the top 100 players listing for 0-3 in all of college football. And also, I got a couple of questions for you. Just think about these guys. This is just the top of mind. All right. Who are the players right now, just based on what you've seen, based on what has been reported, that you insist that you must see more of on this roster? Think about that you haven't seen enough of, guys you want to see more of. Think about that. Let that percolate a little bit, because I want to ask you about that later on the show. And also something else I want to ask you, Texas in this draft, it was a remarkable, historic draft for Texas. You had 11 players drafted overall for Texas, new modern-day record. But you had several players drafted as the top overall players at their specific position. Jonathan Brooks, first running back drafted. Byron Murphy, first D tackle drafted. The question is, what players currently on this roster do you believe have that kind of potential to be the first player drafted at their position in the draft, in future NFL drafts coming up? So we'll talk about, it's kind of those two things. I want to get into that a little bit later on in the show. But of course, questions, that will be a top priority for us. Shoot your super chats to the front of the line. Of course, that will disrupt the show at any time. You can do that as well. But let's start out, guys. I want to get into just kind of starting things out with the Quinn Ewers. It says a Quinn Ewers shout out, if you will, but all of the leaks, and we don't really have the official college football video game cover yet. It's coming, I believe. CJ, I'm sure you're on top of it. Is it coming tonight? Is it already here? Is it coming tomorrow? When is it dropping officially?
Yeah, so that cover is official. that is Quinn Ewers on the cover of the video game College Football 25 coming out. They also released July 19th as the release date. So I'll go ahead and block off the second half of July. Don't contact me. We might not have this show anymore because I'm going to be playing that game for the duration of that second half of the month. But Travis Hunter, Donovan Edwards, and, of course, Quinn, really cool. I know Michigan, Texas, the EA Sports, all sorts of accounts have started releasing some of the behind-the-scenes footage as well. That's pretty cool. I mean, you don't get to see that all too often. I know there's a little clip going viral right now of was it Travis Hunter and Quinn Ewers talking about what Travis Hunter said was his favorite play of the entire season. And that was Quinn Ewers throwing the deep bomb to Xavier Worthy against Alabama. I thought that was really neat. Of course, Vince shouting out Quinn right now. I mean, hey, that you're the face of the sport right now. The minute that you're put onto that video game right now, there's three defending champion, Quinn Ewers and Travis Hunter. So for Quinn, that's a really, really cool feat. And, of course, talking about the Texas program, I mean, I put up an article earlier today on Texas football. It's just another W. Like, this offseason has been full of them. And that's another thing that you can look at and say, yeah, Texas football, they're doing it right. They're getting the notoriety. They're getting some recognition. And this is a big one. This probably might just be the best-selling sports video game of the last decade. And Quinn Ewers is going to be on the cover. There's going to be a Longhorn logo and burnt orange plastered everywhere. So that's huge for Texas, big for Quinn. It's cool for all of us.
No doubt. And, you know, the reason that I think it's really cool, because, you know, some people may not know the reason behind the, you know, the video game cover, the reason that they choose certain athletes. And I don't think they ever revealed exactly why they choose certain athletes, but it's pretty clear from the history of it. It's not always the winningest programs in the country at the time. It's not always the necessarily the marquee brand in college football at the time. You know, it could be, it's sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. You go look at it. Shout out to our man, Kyle Umlang, who threw this out there. He said he listed basically schools with the most college football cover athletes. Michigan has four, Texas right behind them with three. USC has three, Florida has two, Alabama has two. But then you got teams like Arkansas, Baylor, Boise State, Boston College, California, Cal, Colorado, Florida State, Oklahoma State, Pitt, even Texas Tech with one. You know what I mean? So they all have one, because it shows you that also the EA Sports guys, they also, you know, they want to feature the it, what they consider the it universities, the most talked about universities. That's why Colorado, guys, Colorado won four games. Colorado has no business on that cover. But why is Colorado represented on that cover? Because we talked a lot about Colorado last year. A lot. And why? Because Deion Sanders is a high-profile celebrity head coach, and he does things in a real unorthodox fashion, very non-traditional, and that was one of the most talked about universities. So was Michigan. Why? Well, they won a national title, and they're excellent, but also the cheating scandal. That's a program that we've talked about for a lot. Those are probably two of the most talked about universities and programs in college football of all of last 2023, and so was Texas. And I think, and some people say, well, why not Georgia? Yeah, why not Georgia? Well, because no matter, Georgia has been a better football program than Texas, you know, in recent years. And Carson Beck is a elite quarterback that will be drafted potentially even higher than Quinn Ewers, drafted number one overall. He could even win the Heisman. But it does show you about the status of being the quarterback at Texas and what that means if Texas is back into the mainstream consciousness. And it is right now, and Texas is good. And I think they understand that now when Texas is good, you know, there's nothing like that brand and how it captivates college football fans. Whether they hate the brand, which they do, a lot of them hate it. Oh, horns down, you're going to see it more than you ever have before. So I'm not saying everybody is captivating because everybody loves Texas. No, 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 no. It's actually captivating because most people hate Texas, but we love it. The passion of Longhorn fans, actually, it still ends up, you know, overwhelming the hatred that you get from the masses outside of Texas. But that's what kind of makes the brand special. And I think EA Sports understands that. That's why Quinn's getting the cover. And that's why Coach Arch Manning will get the cover too, if he's as good as we all believe he is.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think it's, I also think it's good to see our program going beyond our local hype. You know, we're really good at hyping our own players.
Yep.
You know, and talk, but to see a guy like Quinn being honored on a national level like this, it just shows you the brand, as you're talking about, the brand, the power of the brand, the most recognizable logo in all of college football, maybe all of sports, besides maybe the star of the Dallas Cowboys, you know. it really is.
Right, no, I'm with you.
Love it or hate it, it is what it is. And I just love the fact that, you know, it's not just our local hype. It's recognition that we're getting for the progress the program has made and the progress that Quinn Ewers has made throughout his career. And I think a lot of people are looking for him to have a great season. And this is just another validation that mm-hmm. we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, because I agree with CJ. I mean, I don't know if there's been an offseason where Texas has had this much good free media and publicity from Xavier Worthy setting the combine record for the 40-yard dash and Texas being a team that you could say won the combine or at least was one of the best programs represented at the combine. Then the draft with the 11 players setting the record. I would throw Arch Manning in there with the spring game that he played, which was an unbelievable spring game and got the nation hype about the future prospects for Texas football. And then you throw in being on the front cover of the college football video game, the EA Sports video game, for the first time since it was discontinued. What was it, 10 years ago, whatever it was, 10, 12 years ago. It's right now it does seem like Texas, and I don't want to jinx it, but when I chose to go to University of Texas in 1999, it was on its way to becoming an IT university. Like that was the IT. And I remember when I mean by IT university, it means like it was cool to kids like me. It was 17 and 18 at the time. When I was coming up, I was Florida State was one of my top five schools, and Colorado was one, A&M was among the other ones. Hell, even Penn State was there. God, I don't know why I chose that, because that was my dad claims. And I hate to say it, my dad claims that I really like Penn State. And I hope that because Jerry Sandusky was the defensive coordinator at the time. So I don't know. That's creepy, and I don't like it. But my dad claims that I really like Penn State. They were in my top five. I'm glad I did not pursue that. But apparently Jerry Sandusky was in the recruitment. That's a terrible thing. But anyway, I'll get back to it. But my point is when Mack Brown came to Texas in 99, it was the IT University. Back then, because Ricky had just won the Heisman, right? So it was becoming cool. They had just gotten this young, brash coach, Mack Brown, and Mack Brown was a hell of a recruiter, and he was going to – remember, they were Reebok at the time, and Mack was like, we're going to be Nike. We got to get to that Nike brand. He was coming from North Carolina. He knew the power of the Nike brand. He knew the power of branding, Mack Brown did. And DKR and him, DKR always, one of the great things about him, most underrated things about DKR, he also understood the power of branding on top of being a coaching genius. And so did Mack Brown. And that was also part of it. Once Texas was good again, you know, the power of being able to brand it, you know, come early, be loud, stay late, all that kind of stuff. Mack was great at that. And Sark, on an underrated, I think, capacity, also is really good at that. But I think he just understands the overall power of the brand. So I think it's great. I think Arch is going to be in it. I think we all can agree he's going to be really good, and he's going to be on that cover in another 3-4 years too. So it'll be a really good, 3-4 years for Texas when it comes to the EA Sports college football video game. Speaking of future prospects for Texas, I want to talk about this because for those who didn't watch the spring game on LHN, Peter Burns, who does SEC, the SEC network stuff. He's great. He does a really good job with them covering the SEC. So lately, of course, Texas going into the SEC, he has started to cover them as well. And he was on a recent, podcast talking about the SEC. And he made a really good comparison for Texas fans about what he saw from Texas when he got a peek behind the scenes at the spring game. And coach, here's what he said. I'll make sure I get his quote right because I don't want to misquote the man. He says, to me, the top two teams to beat right now are going to be Georgia and they're going to be Texas. I was just down in Austin and I handled their spring football game. And it looks every bit like the way Georgia looked in 2021 and in 2022 and in 2023. I mean, they get off the bus. They're monstrous people. They're deep in every position. And now they have a quarterback in Quinn Ewers coming back. He goes on to talk about Quinn Ewers and how Quinn Ewers as a veteran quarterback should give Texas an advantage. But that's a guy that got a chance to see Georgia behind the scenes because he's an SEC analyst working for the SEC network. And he's saying Texas in 2024 reminds him of Georgia in 2021, 22, and 23. What are your thoughts, Coach, about that kind of comparison from, you know, someone who's supposed to be objective and analyzing what, you know, college football teams can do?
Well, again, it's, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's really nice for other people to see what we, to validate what we think. You know, of course, we beat Georgia in 2018. I don't know that we were the most talented team that year, but that, you know, that was the last time we played Georgia, I guess, as far as I can remember.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's great. It's great to have somebody with you know, with some knowledge and some insight of the SEC come out and say that. We think that, but there's a lot of teams who have a history of hyping themselves, but nobody else in the country jumps on that train. But this year, I think it just, again, validates that we are real, that what's happening is real, It's tangible, and it's getting a lot of attention across the country. And so, again, I think it's just another one of those good things, CJ, that's happening to us that we hear about. We've been hearing ever since, you know, spring, at the end of the season.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you listen to anything Sarkisian's talked about this team is, yeah, we feel like we have a lot of depth. We feel like that there's enough talent on this team. And that's kind of been the strength of Georgia. You know, they have a great year, and then the next year, and they're in the same position because they just replenish. And that starts with their high school recruiting. We've seen Texas have some success. We've seen them pulling in five stars from out of state, in state, down their backyard, wherever. And now you're starting to see that on the field as well. It'll all be about, for Texas this year, finding that group of guys that you can rely on. Of course, you look at the edge room, the wide receiving room, who's going to be your consistent defensive tackles, who are going to be those guys that come in and step up and play, you know, 60 to 75 to 80% of your snaps. We know Texas likes to rotate, but at the end of the day, you need your big-time guys to make big-time plays. And so for Texas, yeah, you got a lot of talent, but who can rise above the rest of your position group to be those instant impact game changers that Texas desires? We'll see. I think we have a good understanding of who these guys might be. Of course, you look at the edges. We know Trey Moore coming in, Isaiah Bond at receiver, Matthew Golden. But, you know, who are going to be these depth pieces that step in and don't allow for such a drop-off that we've seen in years past, more so in the early years of Sarkisian's tenure? Whenever you take Xavier Worthy off the field, does Texas have a wide receiver one? You know, that was addressed a little bit last year with A.D. Mitchell. Obviously, Jordan Whittington being healthy played a role as well. But now you have a Jontae Cook. Now you have a DeAndre Moore. And you have three portal guys waiting to come in and make a big impact. So I like the comparison. Of course, it certainly helps returning all of your offensive linemen on the front. Mm-hmm. And having Quinn Ewers, a cover boy, coming back. I mean, that's as big as anything in the world of college football at the moment for Texas.
I like that you've kind of randomly started calling Quinn Ewers cover boy. Like, and that's going to be like his new nickname. Hey, cover boy. When he's playing well. No, I like it. I like it. You know what I'm saying? I genuinely like it. Cover boy, baby. I like it.
Rod, did you ever have a Hollywood, you know, y'all ever have any, you play with somebody, the nickname Hollywood? Normally, you know, the kid with the long blonde hair. Was that a Friday Night Lights deal? No. Where did that stem from?
No, I'm with you on that. Listen, every football player, coach probably knows this too. Every football player has an alter ego or a persona that you have to, you know, that basically you become, you evolve into once you get into, you go into the field. That's why the person you are on the field is rarely the person you are off the field. Very rarely. So most football players I knew, they almost have like wrestlers. They have like another ego altogether, an alter ego. Now, I was Black Caesar when I was on the field. All right. You don't want to meet that guy. He's not a good guy. He's not somebody you want dating your daughter. You don't want that guy's not respectful. All right. He's damn disrespectful. All right. He's a competitor. You don't want that guy. That's a different dude altogether. All right. So I always told my mom, I'm a different person. The man that you raised is not the man that's out there on that football field. It's a different guy, different human being, alter ego. So everybody's got an alter ego when they go out there on the football field. It's a little bit different. I can see that. I can see him being cover boy when he's out there, and ain't nothing wrong with that. Of course. Yeah, I like that. Okay, so that was it. By the way, that was On the Beat podcast. You want to hear what Peter Burns said? That he's comparing Texas to Georgia the last 3 years. By the way, guys, Georgia last 3 years, they've gone like 42-2. So, I mean, my point is, like, what is Peter Burns saying here? You're one of the few human beings on this planet that have gotten a chance to see behind the scenes of both. We've seen behind the scenes of Texas, but I ain't got a chance to see behind the scenes of Georgia. You've seen both, and you're going to make the comparison that Texas reminds you of Georgia the last 3 years? Man.
Sign me up.
Exactly. That's what I'm like. Hold up, man. To me, that I'm all titillated as a Longhorn fan. I mean, that has to get you hype. Like Coach said, it's glad to hear that kind of validation from national sources, because it seems like all the time it's us blowing up, you know, our own team and pumping up our own team, that kind of stuff. So there you go. That's an outside source. That was Peter Burns there talking about the Texas football team and the expectations and what he's seen from that Texas team. All right. Before we continue here, let me thank one of our fantastic sponsors here, Laura Baker, because Laura Baker is fan. She also sponsors our football theory. So very familiar with Laura Baker. We appreciate her support. Obviously, this broadcast, the On Texas Football, the winning drive, brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. Please give her a shout today if you have any concerns or needs concerning real estate in regards to real estate in the Austin area at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. So thank you very much to Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams. We appreciate all of their support. All right, I want to get to the top 100 rankings by On3 of the best players in college football. We'll get to that in just a second, but let's hit some of these questions that we have here. UT Boy says, Rod, tell everyone what Mac told you in the garage. Okay, so Mac, after sitting on my mama's couch, drinking her sweet tea, great recruiting visit. Mac was there yet. It was him, Tim Brewster. Coach Withers was there with him. I want to say Bo Reese. Man, it was an all hands on deck thing. We didn't have enough room in the living room. And they realized how small our house was. To all the coaches came there. Everybody wanted to sit down and sit there and drink sweet tea and talk. You know what I mean? And talk to moms and talk to pops. But as Mac Brown was leaving, I remember he had already convinced mom. Mom was already sold, Coach. Mom told me, she's like, oh, you're going to Texas. Before I had even made my decision, mom said I was going to Texas, because mom loved him some Mac Brown. And still to this day, mama loves him some Mac Brown. And Matt's walking out of my garage, and he's walking out. I'm trying to walk him out. You know, I'm going to, you know, say goodbye to the coaches. I'd already said my goodbyes. I'm just making sure I do the polite thing, respectful thing, and walk him out. Matt's walking, turns around, like abruptly, just stops. And turns around after all the coaches left. It's just me and him. Mom's is at the door. It's me and Mac, like at the where the garage starts right there. And he says, Rod, just so you know, I can't win the national title without you. And he turns and walks away. That's it. That was like his closing line. He walks away. And I was like, does he really need me? He knew exactly what I needed to hear. What I needed to hear was, no, your national title hopes hinge on me. I'm the last missing piece for you. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. After that, I was pretty much sold. I still had, you know, a couple of maybe days or weeks before I made my final decision, but I was sold on that. Because I wanted to play for a national title. I wanted to win a national title. I wanted to play for a national title. That was always my big dream. And I wanted to be in the big game and make the big play in the big game. And for Mac to say, no, we want to win national title too, but I need you. I can't do it without you. Now, he probably said that to every recruit he had, Coach. But it worked with me. It's like going out on 6th Street. CJ delivers a lot of lines to the ladies. He probably delivers the same line to about 15 women. But CJ, for that one it works with, that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters.
It worked, Coach. That's all I need to hear was like, he needs me? Oh, I'm in. Never quite won it while I was there, but I knew Mac was on the right track, man. Mac was on
That's
the right
a great track. Story, Rod. Yeah. Every time I hear it, it hits.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, it really did. And like I said, I love Mac to this day. It was a good line. He delivered it perfectly to the timing of it. And he didn't say anything else. He just looked at him and then walked away. He said, I can't win a national title without you. I still remember it. Can't win a national title without you. Turns away. And I was just speechless. And I was like,
You do a pretty good Mac Brown impersonation too.
I love me some Mac. So it's all affectionate. Trust me on that. No doubt about it. All right, let's get to this on three top 100 list, guys. On three release its list of the top. Aloha Traveler. Oh, interrupt the show at any time with a super chat. Thank you, Aloha Traveler. We appreciate that. Aloha, fellas. On3 released their top 100 players, and Texas has 5 on it. I actually think next year's team will have even more, like 7 or 8 thoughts on that. All right, Aloha Traveler. We're about to break this down. Thank you very much for the super chat. We appreciate that. Let's get into this, gentlemen, because it's perfect timing. So they released their top 100 list. The 5 Longhorns, make you wait on it. It's Kelvin Banks, Quinn Ewers, Isaiah Bond, Trey Moore, and Jake Majors.
Whoa.
How about that? Yeah, I know you'll like that one, Coach. So it's Kelvin Banks, Quinn Ewers, Isaiah Bond, Trey Moore, and Jake Majors. I'll give you the ranking here. Kelvin Banks at number 3. Number 3 player overall in college football. Let's talk real quick about Kelvin Banks. Let's get this man some love, guys, because I mean, he epitomizes the definition of the term prodigy. I mean, starting as a true freshman at a premium position like left tackle. In that freshman year, I know you guys remember it. How many first round picks did he play that year? Was it 3, CJ, or 4?
3 or 4, yeah. Was it Tyree, the Texas Tech kid, Felix Anaduke Uzoma out of Kansas State? Yep. Of course, Alabama had a pair.
Iowa State, I thought, had one.
Yeah.
You had Will Anderson.
Yep.
He
was tasked, he had his hands full all season long. I mean, to your point about being a prodigy, I mean, he was a 5-star kid out of high school, comes in, starts right away with no spring ball under his belt. Makes an incredible impact right away and has now grown to be what was just listed as the number 3 player in all of college football by his 3rd season on campus. That's quite the rise.
Coach, I'm sure you are. I mean, for a guy that basically had been considered a first round pick since he was a freshman, he's had that kind of upside that he has been projected to be a first round pick since he was a freshman. How many guys on the 4 acres have even had that type of upside? I mean, I'm talking about all the all-time greats. I probably played with a couple of these guys. Let me try to name them. Derek Johnson was probably in that category, honestly, because he was kind of freak. So he might have been there. Roy Williams was a special kind of freak. I don't know if he was first round caliber as a freshman, but he might have been. Who was the other coach? Give it to me.
Leonard Davis.
Leonard Davis. So, Coach, how many guys can you remember on the 4 acres that have that kind of ceiling, man? That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And he's a guy that I have been guilty of taking him for granted. You know, he's just been solid, and he keeps getting better every year. And, you know, for him to be ranked the number 3 player going into this 24 season – again, that's quite an honor, and I think it's one that's well deserved.
Me too.
He's not a real flamboyant guy. He's not a guy that thrives for attention and is trying to do things to get attention. He's got a goal. He's got a mission, you know, to help our team be the best it can be and be the best member of the team that he can be, and that's only going to help him when it comes to the next level.
Yeah, and Jerry Hamilton, who, you know, I give Jerry a lot of props. Jerry's a legend. Jerry discovered Rod Babers, so I'll give him a lot of props for that. Nobody ranked me before Jerry Hamilton decided to rank me on one of those recruiting rankings. And then I kind of, you know, made my rise from there. But he told me that Kelvin Banks Sr. and I were in the same class, which makes me feel real old.
You are. I didn't know how old you were. You are old.
I am old. That's what I'm saying, Coach. I didn't realize that. I was like, really? Dang, that makes me feel real old.
Yeah, you could have Rod Jr.
I waited so long, and now I'm gonna be that dad where when I go to pick up my kids, they're gonna be like, "Oh, your grandfather picking you up today? That's nice." And they're like, "No, that's not my dad. That's my granddad." Kelvin Banks, how about these stats, guys? His 2.5% pressure rate allowed since 2022, second best among Power Five tackles that are returning this season. And he actually has room for improvement. His run blocking grade is not elite yet, so he's actually got room for improvement even as a prodigy. But I mean, you're talking about a guy that's been one of the best offensive tackles in college football, you know, since he started as a true freshman. And like I said, the film that he put out there as a true freshman against some of those first round picks, it was enough for most NFL scouts to say, all right, he's graded as a first round pick. And by the way, there are guys who have graded out his first round picks early on in their career in college. As you know, this CJ, and you know it, Coach, that once they got the full body of the resume, the full sample size, they weren't graded out as first round picks. Their stock dropped. This guy's stock never dropped. Matter of fact, stock might just increase. He might be the first tackle taken overall off the board. Yeah.
Yeah. Tremendous job of staying the course. You know, you're a five-star kid for a reason. You come in, you work hard, no spring ball again. And, hey, he's doing exactly what you hope every five-star does, and that's give you 3 years of contribution on the field. You become a potential All-American candidate by the time it's your junior year, and then poof, gone. See you in the NFL. Thank you for coming and continue, you know, kind of marketing and using the Texas Longhorns to promote the program and yourself. Right now, that's exactly what Kelvin Banks is doing. And you got to thank Mario Cristobal for taking that Miami job a few years back. Him and Cam Williams, there's both of Texas's starting tackles gifted to you because Cristobal left Oregon to go to Miami.
And remember Mike Gundy? Because wasn't there a situation where Mike Gundy was like in on the recruitment of Kelvin Banks early too?
Yeah.
Right.
He was previously committed to Mike Gundy beforehand, before his recruitment really started going. I believe early his junior year, he committed to Oklahoma State.
Wow.
And then once Texas started coming around, Oregon started coming around, A&M, Oklahoma, everybody's like, yo, hey, you know, you're pretty good. We'd love to have you. I think that's when he's like, okay, I got some pretty big offers here. Let's sit back and reevaluate some things. And then that's when he committed to Oregon and was it July of 2022, I believe. And then, man, ever since then, Texas flipped them late. Cristobal headed down to Miami, and that turned into, at the time, it was the most liked commitment by a Texas recruit of all time on the social media platform.
Wow.
So that tells you how long, you know, it had been for a big-time five-star offensive lineman to end up at Texas. And I've had a few, of course, since then, but up until Kelvin Banks, and I know DJ Campbell followed shortly after, it had been a long drought of five-star offensive linemen dating back, I want to say, until like 2008.
Ooh, yeah. No, I love the quote here they have here from Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy said after his freshman year, he said the good news about Kelvin Banks is he won't be there but 3 years anyway. He'll be gone. I ain't got to worry about him for that long. Little did he know at the time, I guess. You wanted to worry about Texas for that long either. He'll be gone too. All right, Quinn Ewers ranked number 12 on this list, gentlemen. Quinn Ewers ranked number 12 on the On3 list of the top players in college football. You know, the thing is, we talked about this actually on one of our other live streams. You know, he's going to face off against Carson Beck, and Carson Beck in a lot of people's, you know, estimations may be the only quarterback that people have ranked ahead of Quinn Ewers. They have Carson Beck on this list at number 4. So once again, the only quarterback they have ranked ahead of him is Carson Beck. They're going to face off in the upcoming season when Georgia comes to Texas. It's really interesting when you start looking at it. I mean, Quinn Ewers has a chance to really control his own fate, Coach, in regards to being the first quarterback taken off the board right now. Because right now, it's between him and Carson Beck. And if he outshines Carson Beck, not only in the season, but in the face-to-face, you know, because you are a coach, some coaches, they do put that as that'll be a data point that they would put ahead of Carson Beck. Like, no, man, he faced him head-to-head. Quinn Ewers won. He outdoored them in that matchup. I think that would matter, and it might swing some people's evaluation potentially.
Well, we know the kind of game that Quinn had last year in Tuscaloosa, and with Georgia coming to Austin, it's going to be a crazy crowd. You know, we've talked about that a few times. It's going to be a great atmosphere, and I think it's a perfect scenario for Quinn to really shine and, you know, get some air in his wings and really soar to another level.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I can't wait for that game. That's one of those I think he put the cape on in that matchup. I'm glad it's at home, too. I think there's a special level of comfort there for Quinn. And I think he can outdo Carson Beck because I think he's got better weapons. But I could be off about that. I got to study Georgia. I think he's got better weapons. Georgia's got really good tight ends, but I think he's got a better weapons. Georgia may have an O-line just as good, if not better, than Texas. That's kind of what that matchup may come
down to. Well, what it may come down to is who's got the best DBs.
Ooh, don't tell me that, Coach.
You know, who's got the best? you can have not the best receivers, but if your team has got a better DB room than the other team does, then that can equalize it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in a matchup with the two top quarterbacks in the country, potentially.
Yeah.
No, Coach is right. I don't necessarily like that he's right about that, but he's right about that. If I would say Texas DBs, the front, that's one of those games, honestly, CJ, where your starters may need to play more. It's like the playoff minutes in the NBA. Like, all right, you know what? Starters, sorry, y'all got to play 41 minutes tonight. That's one of those games where it's like, no, I need my starting DBs. I'm sorry, guys. I need y'all to play, you know, more minutes than usual. Maybe the backups only get a few snaps in that game. Because you're going up against the best quarterback in the country, maybe the best team in the country. They might be number one with the number one quarterback in the country when they come to Texas. I don't know if that's ever happened. We've had the number one team come to Texas before. Has the number one team with the top quarterback in the country also come to DKR before? Not sure that's ever happened.
Was LSU number one when they came in and beat us? And
I don't know if they were number one.
I think they were 9 or 5 or something like that. Yeah. They were top 10. I don't think they had a number one by their name just yet.
Yeah.
But to your point about needing your best players to play a lot in that game, just think – I know it's October 19th. I know it's about 6-7 weeks into the season, but there's still a good opportunity or chance that that game is not, you know, quote-unquote cool. You know, you're still in Austin, right. Texas. You know, we've been to – you know, those games in Dallas against Oklahoma around that same time of the year where you're sweating like crazy. Odds are that game is obviously at night and things are kind of neutralized a little bit in that regard. But to that same point, you're playing in Austin, Texas. You never know how, you know, hot, you know, humid, you know, what the weather conditions are like. Yeah. And now that the south end zone's completely closed off, you don't get a lot of breeze in there anymore. So we'll see if that plays a role. Of course, Texas will certainly be practicing like crazy in the heat all the way leading up to that 2:30 kickoff against Colorado State, which I know most people are looking forward to, but not for the reason, you know, it's not going to be a cool one up there either. So we'll see. But I would love to see Texas go all out, having their best guys on the field at the time.
I do remember a little game kick off the season in 2017. Y'all remember the home game we had, afternoon game, 11 o'clock game. I think it's Herman's first game in Austin. Yeah. Okay. We got a team coming from the Northeast. They're not used to the heat and the humidity. We're playing a noon game. Remember who that was?
Yeah.
Maryland.
Yeah.
They beat our butts.
They dropped 51, Coach. Huh? They dropped 51 points.
2 years in a row. But, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, man, them guys, they're not going to be used to this Texas heat. We've got a first game into August. It's going to be 105. They kicked our butts, man. So I don't know about that weather stuff. Once that happened, I'm like, okay, forget we got an advantage here down here in Texas. Those Terps kicked the crap out of us.
Oh, man.
I see the comments right now. I mean, the weather could certainly play a role here, Coach, if Texas, you know, kind of tinkers a little bit with that AC dial in the opposing locker room. And remember how big that was with LSU. Well, I'm not saying they did it, but
I remember
the big headline afterward.
Hey, Wayne is right. Ed was not happy about that air conditioner.
Oh man, Coach has got me on that one, dog. Coach got me on that one to bring it up that that Maryland game.
That was
run that jet sweep. Hold on, which Maryland game are we talking about? Which one? Which so the one in Austin, right? The one in Austin.
I'm talking about the first one in Austin. But then we go up there and get beat again. So I don't know.
Hello. Well, now my days. Now they're getting mixed up. When did the Austin loss come? Was that the first, the second year?
First game, first year.
First game, first.
That was my first game as a student at Texas.
That all jet excited. Sweep, they kept running. They couldn't stop the jet sweep. Jet sweep, jet sweep, jet sweep. Oh man, you can laugh about it now. It was painful at the time.
Oh, it was. That was a low point, man. It was a low point. All this hype coming in. We got this new coach coming in. All this hype. And, you know, won a national championship at Ohio State as the OC. And then kicks butt at Houston. And then, woo.
And then remember the next year they have a coaching. Sure, they had the interim. Was it Matt Canada coaching the team?
Yes.
The coach got fired because, unfortunately, you know, obviously a young man had, like, passed away because of, you know, obvious bad decisions and malpractice on the part of the training staff during one of the training sessions. And they still come out and beat Texas.
that was a crazy game with a bunch of rain in that game too, man. I think there's a long, about hour delay waiting for that thing to come on. You just knew that whole hour. Oh, man. I got to wait even longer for this thing to end and accept my fate. That was a tough one.
That was awesome. I'm sorry, CJ. That's how your career started at Texas?
First game. I was excited. Sitting in the south end zone where the students used to sit. And, man, I remember I think it was Reggie Hinphill Maps had a punt return touchdown. Yeah. I think there was another interception for a touchdown in that game. I'm thinking, shoot, man, we got a good squad. No. Death by a million. What was it, Coach? Jet motions?
Oh, it was jet sweep, baby. Over and over. I want to say they ran that jet sweep 8-9 times. They probably averaged, I'm not joking, guys, it was easily 12 yards a pop on that damn jet sweep, man. They were killing Texas on that damn thing. All right. Sorry, Longhorn fans. We did not get blame Coach. Coach brought it up.
I'm just saying that weather excuse, that don't hold up with me anymore.
Yeah, you're right. He's right. No, I ain't going to lie. Coach right. And you know it's going to be hot either way, that opening game. What did they say last year? It was, 100 and on the field? It was like some crazy – it was like 150 degrees on the field, something crazy, 160 degrees. Remember they said the field temperature was for that kickoff against Rice? So it's going to be hot. You know, and it might be still hot when Texas plays Georgia. But it's hot in Georgia too. I ain't been to Georgia in a while. My brother used to live there. It's hot there too. They practicing in the heat, no doubt. So Coach right about that. All right, getting back to the list here, guys. Coach got everybody distracted talking about Maryland. Yeah, Coach gonna bring you. I love how Tom Herman catching strays in the winning drive live stream. all right, getting back to it. The Isaiah Bonds, the next ranked player. He is at 54. 54th ranked player. We talked about Quinn Ewers. He's at 12. Isaiah Bonds at the 54th best player in all of college football, gentlemen. Thank you, UT boy. We apologize. Sorry. We talking about how good Texas is. Sorry to rehash. But you know what? Think about this. This is how good life is as a Texas fan right now. We can bring that up and laugh about it. Like, we know 2 years ago, we wouldn't have brought that up at all. He's like, no, that ain't a laughing matter. That is, no, you don't laugh about that because we're basically kind of in the same position, if not worse. We're not laughing about the situation. But now we bring it up, we laugh about it because times are good.
It's kind of like, CJ, it's kind of like back in the day when Rod got a dude drafted in front of him that was in a coma. You know, we can laugh about it now.
Coach,
we weren't going to laugh about that in 2004, were we, Rod?
Coach, let me get it right here. Coach, he was in the coma after he was drafted. He got shot before so there was a guy that got shot who was drafted before Rod B. The coma came later. All right. Oh, okay. So yes, he was technically in a hospital bed when he was drafted ahead of Rod B. But he was not a good coach. They did think that the guy who was shot in the drive-by was a better option at corner than Rod Babers. That was true. Like, I don't know how that was the case.
We love you, Rod. We're hoping this dude over here wakes up. We're going to roll our dice with the dude over here, hoping he wakes up.
It was, dude. It was. I forget who drafted him too. Don't bring it up, Matt. Not bring it up, Matt. We don't want to hear it. I'm not gonna say his name. I don't want to disrespect that man anymore because I don't know what's going on in his life. But he was drafted ahead of me, even though he was in a hospital bed, shot, you know, as a victim of a drive-by shooting. Yes, I have to live with that. Thanks, Coach, for bringing that up. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, at least you had a chance to get drafted. The only person trying to draft me was Uncle Sam.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, Coach. Oh, man. My chest hurt. I'm not going to lie. That's Coach's fault right there. All right. I'll be a professional here. See, you got CJ. Got to take a break.
Yeah, UT boy paid $2 for us to change the subject, so let's change it.
Yeah, but the subject goes from the humiliation of the program to the humiliation of me.
We did change the subject.
Okay, what do you guys think about Isaiah Bond being ranked the 54th best overall player in college football by his own three rankings? They're basically saying they know he's going to be the go-to guy. Here's my thing. Is it possible that Texas will have three different receivers, one as a go-to guy, one as someone that Quinn looks at on money downs, like just third and fourth downs, maybe even in the red zone? Because think about Texas this year. A.D. Mitchell was the red zone guy. And J.T. Sanders was actually a lot of the third down guy, the money down guy. But Xavier Worthy was the go-to guy. And I almost wonder, with the depth at receiver, could you have a situation where you do have different roles for guys on the team? Or is Isaiah Bond just going to take up all those roles as the guy?
Well, to me, it all depends on how quickly these guys are acclimating to the playbook and to get Quinn Ewers' trust. We've talked about it in the past. Jonte might actually have the leg up on all of that because he got to play with them a full year beforehand. That might have been a reason for why you didn't see A.D. Mitchell put up, 10 target games at Texas. You know, there were games where he only had three catches. And for a guy that went top 50, top 52 in the NFL draft a year ago, you expect to see those big time production games. And, outside of maybe two or three, you didn't really see that consistently. And so I think that for Quinn Ewers, it's all about the trust. Will I know that this guy's going to run the route at 14 back to 11 if that's what the playbook calls for? Do I know that he's going to have an outside release setting up the number two receiver and up the seam, knowing that's what the playbook calls for? So right now, with three new guys coming in and Silas Bolden coming in June, these summer throwing sessions are going to be huge. And yep. I think right now he got a little bit of a taste early on with what Isaiah Bond can do. Now for Isaiah Bond, it's all about the contested catches. If you're going to be that go-to guy, you're going to have to haul in that catch that Arch Manning threw you, hauling over the end zone. That ball has to come in. That's 7 points. That's a band plan. That's a big play. That's a momentum switcher. You got to pull in that ball, especially for someone that's ranked in the top 50 of the players in college football. So yeah. To me, for Quinn, once these paths come back on in the fall, who does he look to go to in these situations? The team's going to go have live situations. They're going to play their live scrimmages. You'll know then just where Quinn will go. And I think it'll be telling who he was throwing with over the summer, who, has a good concept of the playbook, because that's going to drag on over to the season as well. So we'll have to wait and see, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think there is room for it, though. I do believe we saw it last year. We literally saw it with the team last year with guys in different roles within the passing game. All right, number 73, they got Trey Moore, guys, at number 73 on this list. Obviously, he's coming off a 17.5 tackle for loss season, a 14 sack season, hoping to be able to do that now at the highest level of competition in college football, the SEC level. But I've said it before, Coach, this guy's a natural pass rusher. He's got ball get off, BGO. He's got natural bend. If you get up in a game, which Texas, remember, they were up big in games last season, up three touchdowns, against teams like U of H and TCU and K-State, and those teams were able to battle back by throwing the football against a weak Texas pass defense and get themselves back in the game. Texas was able to hold on to win those contests. But if you get teams in predictable passing situations with this guy on your roster, he's going to eat. He's going to eat.
Yeah. Well, I just hadn't seen enough. Well, actually, I hadn't seen enough of Isaiah Bond or Trey Moore in just every down situation to be able to to say that, yeah, they're worthy of that. I'm not so sure when you go back and look at who's going to be our third down guy, it's going to be a guy that can make some incredible plays, has good body control, will fight for the ball. I'm not so sure that if he gets a shot, it's a guy like Ryan Wingo certainly has the athletic ability to come in and make those big plays when you have to make them. Not necessarily the deep touchdowns, although I think he's very capable of that, but just his body control and his big play making ability. That's those third down guys. That's that third down guy you want, a guy who's going to be able to position his body, shield off the defender, go up and get a ball and come down with it for a big first down. So I think he's a guy that has a chance, maybe not in the 24 season, but certainly not long after that.
Yeah, I like what you said, though, Coach, about third downs. That's your contested catch down, right? That's why I think Quinn liked JT Sanders there on that down. That's contested catch down. That's going to be a heavily contested catch down just because DBs are usually flat-footed reading that down. I'm sitting at the sticks. You got third and six. Hey, I ain't going much further than that. Third and six, usually in your plays, I know they're most of them are built to get you between 6 to 8 yards. If you're third and six, very rarely are teams dialing up plays. They're going to get them 20 yards down the field. They're thinking, no, I want to get this 6 yards to get the first down and convert. So DBs know that. Defenses know that. Defenders know that. So that's why those are usually your contested catchdowns, and you want guys you know are going to be able to fight for the football. JT Sanders was that guy. And I like what you're saying about Ryan Wingo, Coach. He definitely has that ability and can be that guy too. The last Longhorn, ranked on this list, Jake Majors. All right, I'll give Coach this one too, because I know Coach O-line play. You got to like this one. When was the last time we seen Jake Majors ranked on a listing here? He's ranked number 85 on this On3 top 100 players listing. And I got to tell you, that's the first time I've seen him ranked, but I'm not going to say that he doesn't deserve it, because I'm a big Jake Majors fan entering his fifth season. He's a veteran. Got a chance to interview him in our third Longhorns podcast. So shout out to Nick Shuley, Jeremy Hills, Fozzie Whitaker, Alex Okafor, and Derek Johnson, the crew. And, man, I came away so impressed with his football IQ. Coach, this dude is really impressive. His football acumen is out of this world. And now I get it. I see why he's a fifth veteran and a guy that started multiple years at Texas, because his football IQ is off the chain, and he's a guy that's got an NFL future. I truly believe that, but now they're saying potentially he can end up being one of the best players in college football for you.
Yeah, he is another guy who I've been guilty of taking him for granted, you know, because it seemed like he's always been there. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't hardly remember a time where Jake Majors wasn't our center, you know. Yep. I mean, he's just been here for so long. He's, again, not a guy who tries to bring a lot of attention to himself. He doesn't get much hype. He doesn't put out much hype. He's just steady, steady, consistent. He's not going to get you beat, okay? But this year, I look for him to take one more step, and you say, okay, we're not going to get beat because of Jake, but go ahead and let's take that to the next level. We're going to win because of Jake.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to win because of the center and his football IQ and his consistent snaps and him making sure. And he's the one that's telling everybody up there what the block is, what the block plash protection is going to be. He's the guy calling all that stuff. And you start taking that for granted, and you get him hurting another guy in there, and he gets nervous and screws it up, and your quarterback gets hurt because he gets blindsided. I mean, you know, it's a job that is thankless many, many times, but Jake is just a hard worker. He's not much of a talker, but he's a guy that I think we're going to be really, really glad we have him this next season, that he came back for his fifth year.
Yeah, I wanted to double up on that. I like this comment a lot from John Burroughs here. You know, this speaks about Kyle Flood. Listen, look at where Christian Jones was three, four years ago. He's a draft pick. He went the fifth round this year. We probably weren't expecting that at any point up until Kyle Flood arrived and saw the progression from year one to year two, where you're like, okay, I see the steps. Now in year three, he's a draft pick. Jake Majors kind of the same way. Early on in his career, good player, great contributor. Early on, whenever the staff arrived, still probably not a top 100 player in college football. Now he's being recognized. Now he's receiving this recognition. We talked about Kelvin Banks earlier. We mentioned the word prodigy. Listen, we've seen five stars come to Texas and flop. because they don't get developed, because they don't get the coaching. Kyle Flood, again, because of his, you know, kind of impact in, on this offensive line room, you see Texas now walk in with the expectation to have, you know, a Joe Moore Award caliber offensive line, which is certainly encouraging. And it's been a long time since we've seen anything even remotely close to that on the 40 acres.
Yeah, no, that's a good point about Kyle Flood. I mean, development period, right? Like, we're seeing it at every position. I'll give Sark and his staff a lot of credit for that. But there's no doubt, offensive line, it, again, back to my man CB, he brings this up. He said back in the 4 o'clock, Rod B, you were teammates with the last first-round pick at offensive line, Mike Williams. Is Kelvin Banks better?
Big Mike.
Mike Williams. And my man CB asked, is Kelvin Banks better? You know, that's a tough evaluation for me because I'm a DB. In terms of going to watch, I didn't watch a lot of film of Mike Williams at the time. I watched him live. He was a hell of a – I'm going to say Kelvin Banks is better. Just because we've been talking about Kelvin Banks as a first-round pick, just so I'm saying right now, but in terms of their projections in the NFL and what they're going to be, that's a different discussion altogether. Right now, I take Kelvin Banks. And let me go see, where was Mike Williams drafted? Let's go check this out, too. I got to find out exactly where he was drafted. I would say Kelvin Banks is better just because we've been talking about Kelvin Banks as a first-round pick, guys, since his freshman year, as we talked about that, right? His freshman year. And I don't know a lot of, you know, guys who have had that kind of upside. We've been talking about that since their freshman year. So, yeah, I mean, he was pick number 4. Oh,
yeah.
So, I don't know if he's better. That's pick number 4. I know he was top 10. I didn't know he was number 4 overall. I don't know. Listen, Kelvin Banks is at a premium position, and he's considered the top or the second best offensive tackle in left tackle in the next year's draft, in the upcoming draft. Where does that put him? I don't know. It depends on the quarterbacks, as we all know. Last year you had, you know, 3 quarterbacks taken with the top 3 picks. Quarterback is probably one of the only positions that a team will take. Quarterback and edge rusher, probably one of the only 2 positions that somebody will take ahead of left tackle. So I'm not saying he's going to be number 4. That is really high. So I don't know if I can say he's better overall than Mike Williams because that is tough. But I think he's in the same realm. I do. I mean, it's hard for me to say he's not. I think he's going to end up being a top 10 pick this year. I do.
Yeah, I do too. I love Jake Majors too, but he's not Casey Studdard. Casey Studdard had that.
Nasty.
Jake's going to block you, and he's going to help you up and get back. Studdard, after he crams the back of your helmet into the turf, he's liable to spit on you and step on you as he goes back to the huddle. You got to have some Studdards on your team, man.
You got to have that nasty on your team. Yeah. So, like you said, that's a good question from man CB about Mike Williams. Number 4 overall, hard to beat that. Unless you're going number 1 overall, hard to beat number 4 overall. So, I'm not going to go as far as to say that he's better. I think Kelvin Banks is in the same realm. Let me just end it there. You could be in the same conversation. But man, big Mike Williams, number 4 overall. Right, y'all must have forgot, I guess, is that Roy Jones Jr. song. Must have forgot how good my man Mike Williams was. So I don't want to disrespect Mike Williams. I don't want to disrespect the man at all. Who I believe, you know what? I'll get into some other. I got a Mike Williams story, but I'm not even going to share it now. We'll share that later. All right. CB also wants people to know Michigan announced today that they will be selling alcohol at the Big House this season. Well, that just means the environment's going to be that much crazier and hostile for Longhorn fans. CJ, you going to this thing? Is that why you're excited?
We'll be covering it, so we'll be on the job. We'll be working, of course, but that's exciting. I mean, come on, you know? Come on, coach. Get with me here.
Hey, the more they can have to drown their sorrows, the better it is for us, huh?
Hey, there you go. Hey, speaking of, I will say we just talked about this top 100 list. Based on the amount of players that are listed and ranked, Michigan is easily considered the top opponent for Texas next year based on this listing. They have 7 players listed in the top 100. I think Georgia has 5. Texas has 5, so they're in the same category. But Michigan's got – Mason Graham, they got the best D-tackle duo in the country. They got Mason Graham, the D-lineman. The cornerback, Will Johnson, is at 6. Will Johnson's at 8. Mason Graham's at 6. They also got Kenneth Grant. He's another D tackle. He's at 25. Their tight end, Colston Loveland, is at 27. Their running back, Donovan Edwards, is at 62. They got a safety, Rod Moore, at 75. And they have an edge rusher, Josiah Stewart, who is at 96. And then Georgia has second most. And then actually, I think the Aggies may be, in terms of Texas opponents, who have the most players listed. Maybe the Aggies are next on the list with a couple of guys. So Michigan is going to be a really talented squad. Even with all they lost, that's going to be a really talented squad Texas will be facing. All right. I got a couple of other topics that I want to get to and a couple of questions that I want to get to here before we wrap things up. Okay, guys, just real quick, because this is something I want to just ask you guys about. It's something that came across my timeline that I thought was interesting. I'm a big fan of Stats So War. He does a great job, Parker Fleming on Twitter. He's a data scientist, statistician. And he did what he described as average win totals of conference opponents. And so he did the SEC. He did every power conference, but he did the SEC. And he said, according to FanDuel's current offering, so this is the average win totals based on FanDuel's, you know, projections of conference opponents for every team. And for the team with the most, the highest average win totals of their conference opponents is Oklahoma. So essentially what this metric is saying is that he believes that Oklahoma essentially may have the toughest strength of schedule in the SEC by this metric. Oklahoma has the toughest schedule in the SEC next season. But if so facto by the same metric, he's also saying Texas at the bottom of this list because Oklahoma's average win total of their opponents is 8.8 wins. The average win total for the Texas opponents is going to be 6.2. Oklahoma is at the top of this list. Texas is at the bottom of this metric. Based on Statso War's breakdown here, he's saying Texas has one of the, if not the easiest schedule, SEC schedule out there, which is crazy because they got to play Georgia. But Georgia is actually one of the only big dogs they play in the conference other than Georgia. And then maybe if you consider A&M a big dog, those are the two big dogs they play. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is projected to be a 6-7 win or fewer team in the SEC next season. I'll start with you, CJ, because I know you're into the you probably are a fan of Stats Award too, and the stats here, the deep dive analytics. What are your thoughts? How does this affect the perception of the expectation of Texas next season in 2024?
Yeah, a couple things. One, I'm a big fan of Parker Fleming and the work that he does on Twitter. I think he's very informative, a lot of great stats. I'm not here to deny that Texas has a very favorable schedule in 2024. I think we've talked about this, you know, five of the bottom six, six of the bottom seven, whatever metrics you're basing this off of. Texas plays some of the lower tiered teams in the SEC in year one. There's no denying that. With something like this, I think it's a little bit misleading because, again, Texas can't play itself. They had 12 wins last year. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma has to play Texas and then some SEC schools. So there's 12 plus whatever those other SEC schools are. So I think it is a tad bit misleading. Arkansas is up at the top because they can't play their three-win self. You know, Vanderbilt, you know, top five as well. Mississippi State, Florida, they were all pretty bad teams a year ago. And they can't play those lower-tiered teams because, well, they are one. So a little bit of a misleading stat, but I do appreciate it because – it does kind of put into, you know, the broader picture. Texas, again, I think you look at that schedule and you think, okay, yeah, like we got it pretty good this year. Whereas Oklahoma, they got to play Tennessee. You got to play Texas. And then you go on the road, Ole Miss, Missouri, LSU. And then you got Alabama coming to Norman. So that's a pretty tough schedule. Those road games, not necessarily comparable to what Texas has to play. I would say they're pretty significantly tougher. Texas only has three true road games this year when you look at it, one of them being in Dallas for the Red River Shootout. You go to Arkansas, they're down, but that's going to be a tough place to play. A&M, last week of the season, who knows what that game will look like. It'll be tough. And then you got to go to Nashville. And you get to play Vanderbilt. So it's not necessarily murderer's row. You get some breaks in there. Kentucky comes to town. Florida comes to town. Mississippi State starts off the slate for the SEC schedule for Texas. You take those three games at home. Mm-hmm. Of course, Georgia's the big one. Oklahoma's going to be tough. But when you look at it and where you got to go and when you got to go, really the toughest part is playing Oklahoma and Georgia back-to-back. Aside from that, it's not that tough of a schedule in my eyes.
Yeah. Normally, it's misleading. I just think that all of the metrics, the over-under win totals we've been seeing, they do all seem to – they align with the same narrative, that Texas's schedule is favorable.
Yes.
In the SEC, in their first year in this, is favorable. I'm not going to say it's easy because it's the freaking SEC. Ain't nothing easy about the SEC, but at least it's a favorable schedule. And I'm with you. All stats are misleading. Stats are like bikinis. They show you a lot. They don't show you everything. All right? You still got, you know, there's still a lot to be seen. Bikini, you know what I mean? All right. But getting back to it, I got a couple other things I want to bring up here because I know we're getting close to the end. I posed these questions earlier to you guys. I wanted you guys to think about them. And I had two questions I wanted you guys to think about before we actually got a chance to discuss them. Who are the players? The first one was, who are the players on the Texas roster that you'll insist you need to see more of after either reports that you've heard in the offseason or what you saw in the spring game or, you know, just based on even your just intellectual curiosity? I got to see more of this guy. I need to see more of him. And maybe it's somebody you just think will help the team. Maybe somebody genuinely think this guy will help them with, you know, depth issues. I think he actually can contribute. Who is somebody you'll insist, I got to see more of this player? I'll start with you, Coach. Who's somebody you insist, I got to see more of him?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to be too surprised by my first choice, Ryan Wingo.
That's an easy one. I agree. I'm with you.
I mean, yep. What an upside he has. I got to see more of him. And I got to see Amari Nyblack. I mean, that's another guy who, you know, brings a lot to the table, but we really haven't had a chance to see what he can do yet. And, you know, we've seen Gunnar Helm, and he's certainly serviceable, as we've talked about. But anyway, those guys, and I'll tell you another one. I really want to see him in more of a leadership role is Jaden Blue.
I want to see him. Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to be an every down back, obviously, with Baxter back there, but I do want to see him kind of spread his wings this season. Those are my offensive guys. Defensively, of course, Trey Moore. I got to see more of him. I got to see more of LaFau. And lastly, Andrew Makuba.
Okay.
Those guys are the ones that I'm really anticipating and pulling for this year. I can't say a whole lot about him because I don't know a whole lot about him. Mm-hmm. But when you read, you know, you watch a spring game and you read about things that they've done and stats and all that, those guys to me are ones I want to see more of because I'm very excited about those six guys.
I like that. CJ, you got a couple, or because Coach actually named a good amount that I was thinking about too. That was good.
Yeah, no, I like all those names Coach mentioned because, again, I think we all recognize the talent and we understand what their importance to this team will end up being. To me, a name I think that we haven't heard a lot of, but maybe, you know, expected some really high ceiling for during their time at Texas is Darren Gillette. I want to see what he can do. You know, I think coming out of high school, this is a guy Texas had to fight off A&M and Ohio State for. You know, he was a highly coveted linebacker, edge rusher, kind of a tweener prospect. Yeah. Had ACL surgery, missed his senior season, but we got to see glimpses of him back in the spring this year. Can he contribute this year? We've talked about that linebacking room kind of being a little bit thin at the moment. You know, do you have enough bodies there? Can he contribute off the edge? We know that room is very crowded. Texas wanted to hold on to Darren Gillette this spring and wanted to give him that opportunity to go through another year of development and see where he would be again in, 2025. But if he's able to crack that field and get in that lineup, I think you'll see something a little bit that might surprise you based off of what we've heard technically the last two seasons. All about keeping him healthy. I'm all for it. I like Darren Gillette a lot. This was a guy who was, you know, he was anchoring the 4x2 in high school at 6'3", 220 pounds. You don't see that too often. And, man, he looked good in space. So I want to see Darren Gillette. He's my one guy.
I like that. I'll be quick here. I'll say Colton Bossett because you guys named a bunch of, but what I saw in the spring game really just piqued my interest. So I've been doing some more research on Colton Bossick. And I think the ceiling's really high for him. We know the edge position is really deep for Texas. Got even deeper with what I saw from him in the spring game, no doubt. CB says Jonte Cook. Yep. Hey, UT boys happy to hear you say Jonte Cook. Yeah, I'm excited about Bossick. Yeah, man. He's it's just the frame, right? The that kind of body type at that position, a premium position, man, that dude, yeah, he could become a star. I agree with that, no doubt. DeAndre Moore, that is a good one. That is a good one. That is great because we heard a lot of reports about DeAndre Moore in practice, starting to separate, elevate his game. I like that Thunder Pump. That's really good. I like that. Okay, real quick, because I know we're getting close to the end here. John Burroughs, he says, Casey Stuttert was my middle school offensive line coach.
He saw this coach.
You'll appreciate it. Stuttert told us we could poke people in the eyes through their face mask in the trenches before we reminded him we were 12. To which he said, oh, yeah, don't do that then.
Hey.
And I believe it. I believe it. I know Casey Stuttert, and I believe that story 100%.
We got to have Stuttert on the show sometime.
Okay, I know what? I can arrange that. I will hit up Stuttert and ask him if he will come on the show with us. And we'll have to have either the dump button ready or just have a, you know, basically a parental warning on there about the language that can be used with Stutter's on here, because he is awesome. Judd Burroughs, thank you for that story, because that is – Stutter once told me, he said he liked football because it's basically a 60-minute sanctioned fight, and he gets to fight 60 minutes.
They don't build them like him very often, man.
Exactly. He's like, no, I get to fight for like 60 minutes. It's not a penalty. I just get to fight with a dude. It's like, yep, you're an offensive lineman, son. You are an offensive lineman. God bless you. We need more like you. Justin says, which current players have a chance to hop into the draft that currently aren't projected to? Yeah, kind of like this year, right? Keelan Robinson was that this year. Jay Witt was kind of like that this year. Where, hey, honestly, Ryan Watts was kind of like that this year. Nobody expected Ryan Watts to get drafted. Kind of came out of nowhere, increased his draft stock. That is a good question, Justin, about guys who aren't on the draft radar right now who could increase their draft stock. Is Cam Williams on the draft radar?
He will be. I'm not sure if 1 year will be enough for him, but 6'6", 350, I think you're going to see him play some of these athletic end prospects in the SEC, and I think a lot of scouts are going to say, yeah. Will it be right away in 2025 or will he wait for 26? I guess we'll have to wait and see. I was going to go David Benda. You know, he's kind of been a rotational guy during his time at Texas. We've seen him make impactful plays. Now it's his spot. We thought it was going to be his spot last year. Anthony Hill obviously came in and said, no, not yet. But David Benda, we know he can move well. We've known he's kind of taken this offseason to improve his passing game or his pass coverage. That's a guy to me. He's going to test very well, and I think he's going to have the numbers. We'll see how he plays on the field this year, because I think he could surprise some folks.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's good. All right. Let's thank our last sponsor here, because we're getting close to the end, and we appreciate all you guys and your participation in the show. Makes this job awesome. We appreciate the community you guys have helped us build. But also, let's give a chance to thank our friends at South Point Dodge, because they've also become a part of our own Texas football community. Texas football fans, if you want to score an easy extra point this season, you can score that point when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't do games, and they don't play games, and they're not about gimmicks, folks. They're all about getting right to the point. And the point is, they want to get you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. You can go see them today on 535 in South Austin, or go check them out at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. So thank you very much to South Point Dodge for their continued support of the winning drive. All right, gentlemen, I know I had, you know, this is my last question, and then we'll wrap things up. Texas did have the first D tackle off the board in the draft. They had the first running back off the board in the NFL draft. Give me one, and this might be pretty easy for both of you guys, one position where you think Texas will have the first player drafted off the board in the 2025 draft. At that position, not number one overall, at that position.
Ooh. Well, I think of two. Yeah.
Yeah, you got two. Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No, CJ, go ahead.
I mean, you could think of two right now where you're probably having a top one or a top two guy at the spot. That's Kelvin Banks and Quinn Ewers.
Yep.
I would have to imagine that's probably the best case at the moment, unless, and I know we just saw a lot of wide receivers go this year early, unless Isaiah Bond has just a massive season. I think those are your two safest bets at the moment.
Yeah. I don't see it with Bond. I see potentially being a first-round wide receiver, but not the first at his position taken. He's got elite traits of speed, but like I said, you would take a monster year, even bigger than some of those Xavier Worthy years, and I don't know if he's going to have that kind of year. But right. I think it's the safest. And honestly, I'm trying to think about it. Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other position. I think those are probably your two best bets right now to be the same. But by the way, that's pretty good to have your quarterback potentially and left tackle. Talk about premium positions, and you could have the two top taken at the two – actually, well, some would argue the most premium positions in football, and you would have those in the 2025 draft. That would say a lot about what Steve Sarkisian is building here. All right, getting ready to wrap things up. Daniel wants to know, in Dabo theory, how many high school transfers we bring in this year? For those who have not heard – to sum it up, Dabo Swinney was on an ACC show that covers the ACC, and he was asked about not taking any transfers, zero transfers, in this latest transfer portal cycle. And he basically said, all of our guys are transfers. They transferred from high school to college. Yeah. So I have no idea what that – Dabo won't admit that he's anti-portal, but he's anti-portal. He won't admit that he's anti-NIL – but all of his comments and actions say he's anti-NIL. And by the way, I think Dabo's a hell of a coach. I think Mike Gundy's a hell of a coach. But both of them are anti-modern college football, anti-NIL, anti-portal. I don't know how long before ultimately that mentality implodes their football program. But it's only a matter of time. There's no way you can be that anti-progress and still be able to, you know, compete at a high level. Yeah. I mean, it's
really You put those guys at Ohio State, Georgia, University of Texas, they change their tune. I mean, Stillwater, you ain't going to raise a lot of money.
That's true.
Great point. Clemson's a small private school. I mean, I'm sure they don't have, you know, the fact that the University of Texas has the most living alumni in the United States of any college, that obviously opens up, you know, a whole new game, and it's easier to play that game. But it also makes your job a lot harder as a coach, having to always keep up with the portal and always trying to keep guys happy with NIL. Yeah, it's hard. It makes my job a lot tougher. It's not fun. I'm going to talk bad about it, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're in one of those programs where people are wanting to transfer to, and sometimes just because of your NIL deal, along with, you know, the culture of your team, then those guys aren't going to be quite as opposed to it, I would say.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that, Coach. It's just, you know, and I get exactly what you're talking about. For them, it's tough, and I think both of them, those guys are really good coaches. But, man, to openly, you know, be opposed to it, it just makes your job even harder because he's basically saying that there's no transfers that could have helped improve their roster. Out there, there was nobody in the transfer portal that would have helped improve the roster. Nobody. There wasn't one out there that could have helped improve your roster. That's hard to believe.
Better win every game this year if that's the comment you're going to make.
That's hard to believe, Coach. That nobody out there could have helped you make an upgrade on your roster. I think that's where Clemson fans now. And I've never been more thankful and grateful to have Steve Sarkisian as the head coach at Texas. listening to stuff like that. All right. Thank you, Coach, for the wisdom. We appreciate the time as always. Hey, thank you, CJ, for all your hard work as well. Thank you to Matthew behind the scenes. He's the real MVP, folks. Would not happen without Matthew. Thanks to our sponsors, Laura Baker. Thank you to South Point Dodge as well. And thank you to all of you guys for joining us. Can't tell you and can't thank you enough for helping us build this community. Really appreciate you guys, man. All right. Until next time, the Winning Drive, remember, we'll be back on Monday, 4:15-ish to around 5:30-ish. That's how we do it. We'll be back on Monday. But tomorrow, you got coffee and football starting up at 8. 8 to 10 right here on Texas Football. You check that out. And we'll also have our Friday live stream at 1 p.m. tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. Until next time, for Coach and for CJ, I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Hook 'em.